Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and this is the Straight Wives Radio Show, the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriage between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. How are you, Misty?
I'm doing great. How are you tonight, Bonnie?
I'm doing good, and we're very excited because we have a special guest with us, and we're going to bring him online right away. Is that you, Angelo?
Yes, it is me. Hello.
Hi. Misty's on the phone with us. Misty's my co-hostess and
hello.
A neighbor
hello.
Of yours. And Misty's a neighbor of yours. I told you the two of you are going to have to hook up together.
Ah, you live in Miami?
No,
yeah,
but she's close.
Course. Just north of there.
Oh, great. Yes, definitely. It'd be great to meet sometime.
Yeah,
I thought
it'd
be a great connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, Angela, before I murdered your last name, I'm so glad you got on.
Oh, it's quite all right.
I didn't want to kill Pizzotti. Is that correct?
Yeah, Angelo Pizzotti, sure.
Pizzotti. Well, I'm sorry I did murder it, but...
No, not at
you're
all.
You're close.
I was very close. I'm sorry, I had an O instead of an ah sound, but I really appreciate your joining us tonight, and I told some of our women, you know, in our support chat that you would be, you know, joining us tonight because you do therapy with gay men, correct?
Yes, I have for 10 years.
And you were originally from New York. You just moved to Florida recently, is that correct?
Yes, my experience actually spanned several major cities, Boston, L.A., New York, and now Miami.
Okay, great. And you're the author of a very interesting book called Straight Acting, which is available at Amazon.com.
Yes, that's
we'll
true.
And we'll give our readers more information about that as we proceed tonight. But can you talk to us a little bit about what your book is about, Straight Acting?
Sure. Well, first I wanted to say, you know, thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I certainly appreciate that. And
well, we really appreciate your coming on the show because we love to hear, you know, gay men get on who are authentically, you know, who they are and try to explain to us some of the issues that we're going through.
Sure,
and
of course.
Especially you're a therapist, so you've dealt a lot with it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, I mean, not to... I guess just to begin by saying, of course, that while, you know, I do have a lot of experience working with gay men, and I, you know, I am an author, et cetera, that, you know, what I can speak from is from my experience, you know, my clinical experience dealing with gay men for so long. I can talk to you as an author, as a therapist, you know, I can't speak for all gay men, but I can certainly give you my take on things. So, you know, I just wanted to say that. And also...
No, that's fine. And you haven't been married, correct?
Huh?
You haven't been married, is that correct?
No, I've never been married. I've always identified as gay. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, I can also speak, as a gay man myself. I just want to say I can't speak for the whole community. That isn't my intention.
No, that's fine. But maybe you can answer some questions.
I want to answer as many questions as I can. Of course, I'm just saying when I do answer them, I'm not like the spokesperson for, I don't represent all gay guys. Yeah, okay, that's all I'm saying.
No, we know that there's no absolutes here. And, you know, one of the things I do want to mention to our callers, if you, you know, you would like to call in and talk to Angelo, and the number here is area code 646-716-4893. And I'll repeat that, 646-716-4893. But Angelo, I guess, you know, just to give you a little background for most of us who are going through this, it's really interesting that I believe our women are the most accepting when it comes to homosexuality of any women that I've ever met anywhere. That I think that there's some kind of subconscious, you know, or unconscious movement on behalf of their husbands when they're hooking up to find somebody who's accepting and tolerant. So I never want you to feel that if women ask you a question or if we discuss things here, it has anything to do with being anti-gay. Most of us are very pro-gay. Most of us, you know, are very accepting. But when it comes to having it in your marriage, it's another thing. So I just wanted to just clarify that for you. That,
yeah,
you know, I think
yeah.
our women are really very pro-gay. They have gay friends. They've been around great crowds. They just didn't, you know, marry expecting it to come into the marriage.
Yeah, of course. And I, you know, the I can understand the, you know, I don't know what it's like because, you know, I'm not female and I wasn't, you know, married and I have no idea what that experience is as a straight wife of a gay man. So I can't say that I know it, you know, but I can imagine how painful it must be. And I certainly know betrayal and I certainly know what it's like to be hurt. So I absolutely respect, you know, and, you know, when I do answer questions, I also want to say that I am respecting people's, you know, experiences, and I'm not defending gay men in any way, you know, either. So.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, one of the questions I would like to ask you is this. I mean, just in your opinion, because I know there's no definitive answer.
Yeah.
But is there any, like, way that, I always say it'd be wonderful if, at the age of 5, every gay person can say, I'm gay, I know that I'm different, and this is the path that I was given in my life. But it just seems so odd to me that it can pop out, like, at any time. Some people are very defined in their sexuality when they're younger. Some claim that there's just no way they were aware of it till they're much older. Is there any kind of timeline that you can predict, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a really good question. No. you know, looking back, I feel it's most gay men's experience that they can tell you, oh, you know, when I look back in my life, I could see, you know, this, I could see that, and I could always see, you know, that it always was. But when you're 5, when you're 10, you know, you may know you're different. I think it's almost, I don't want to say every gay man, but I think it is, you know, personally and clinically, that every gay man has the experience of feeling different than their straight male peers, you know, maybe different than the rough and tumble guys. But that's not every gay man's experience, but many. Many have this sense of just being different, but as a child, as a teenager, but it's not, and I think it's because of the mind, you know, the mind just isn't mature yet in that way to wrap, you know, one's head around, you know, sexuality. You know, so I think we know we're different, but we don't know we're gay. We don't really get that until when we sexually mature. And, you know, today it's a little different because there's so much media and there's so much available and kids are so smart and they have so much access that there are young kids today who at 9, 10 can say I'm gay, and that's pretty amazing. But at least in my generation, and I think in the generation that we're talking about, you know, that wasn't the case. So I think people really know. And even some men, even after they sexually mature, I think they know on some level, but they push it down. They deny it. Denial is very, very, you know, powerful. So denial is a mechanism. There's psychological defenses. We don't acknowledge things. We're afraid of things. And, you know, there's all kinds of reasons that, you know, guys may not acknowledge that part of themselves, even though, you know, maybe at 40 or 50, they finally say, oh, I'm gay. But it didn't happen overnight. You know, it's not something, it's not like a switch, I think, where guys decide, oh, I'm gay today, I'm going to, you know, get up and be gay. I think it always...
Does that have something to do with your book, Straight Acting? You know, the issues that you address as far as self, you know, homophobic self-hatred or...
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the book's focus is geared toward gay men, but, you know, all men and anyone in a relationship with a man, you know, including wives, you know, have something to learn from straight acting. And essentially what it's teaching is, you know, for the gay man to accept themselves and acknowledge themselves you know, as gay men, and to be true to themselves and true to who they are, rather than living any kind of facades. And the books, the main focus of the book is the facade of masculinity, you know, pretending to be straight, the straight acting. And that comes in many forms, you know, for gay men. And I guess in your case, well, you know, not necessarily you personally, but I mean, you know, straight wives, it could be literally getting married, you know, straight acting. But in a more, you know, benign sense, it's just kind of toning down the mannerisms that you're gay, not dressing gay, not talking gay, those kinds of things, so that one can quote unquote pass and, you know, not be labeled as gay. And the majority of gay men, even though we have these quote unquote queenie stereotypes, effeminate stereotypes that are popular, but, you know, the majority of gay men, in fact, do sort of camouflage and try to tone down the signals that they're gay and put their femininity, if you will, their feminine side in check, and they kind of amplify their more masculine side, because every human is a mix of masculine, feminine. So the book really just helps men, gay men, be the men that they are, whatever that is. Men have to act gay, but they have to act like who they are rather than some ideal of who they're not. And whether that's the extreme of the real macho man or the effeminate gay man, you know, it's hopefully neither extreme, but somewhere in between, you know, whoever they are, whatever mix of masculine and feminine they naturally have. So
I'm just wondering about this. I am a very strong believer that gay is no choice, ever. That people don't make a choice to be gay, that they're born gay. They're not made gay. And that, you know, you can't turn someone gay.
Correct.
I mean, I'm not saying there are a lot of people who don't agree with that, but I really have been studying this for over really 30 years now. And I see all kinds of family ties, genetic tie-ins. You know, I've studied lots of families. But, you know, of course, a lot of people don't believe that. They think that different, you know, like we have a number of gay husbands who I call it the abuse excuse. When they come out to their wives, they tell them, well, I wasn't gay, but I was sexually abused, and that made me gay.
Oh,
hogwash. Can you address that? Well, that's what I told them.
Yeah. No, it's not. You know, I was abused, so, and I'm very public about that. So I was, you know, sexually abused as well. I don't think that makes anyone gay. You know, for example, you know, if you're, you know, God forbid, if a woman's raped, let's say, that doesn't make her a lesbian. I mean, it just doesn't. But these are very popular cultural beliefs that we have. But there's just no evidence of that. What is true is that the gay child is more vulnerable to a pedophile, likely because the gay child is depressed, is isolated, probably feels different, needs some type of mentor. Maybe the father is ashamed of the boy and distances himself. So I think that more gay men may be abused because they're more vulnerable to predators. Also, more gay men may come forward than straight men as adults and say they were abused, because gay men are just so used to therapy, if you will. You know, they're just likely to do self-exploration, and they're more likely to say, hey, this happened to me, than a straight guy. So it may seem like, oh my God, everyone who was gay was abused. But in reality, I don't think, you know, that's the case.
I mean, I have a theory called temporary gay. And temporary gay means that situational gay, which is like temporary gay. I mean, there are situations where people have gay behavior, such as in prison, that they would not have outside the prison, or if you have a power differential between a professor and a student, or a doctor and a patient, that, you know, people sometimes do things that under the normal circumstances of their lives they wouldn't have been doing, because it's not really what their sexual inclination is.
Yes, agreed.
You know, and under different circumstances, you know, they wouldn't be gay. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
And that's why I feel so strongly that, you know, you can't turn someone gay. There are situations that come up, but that doesn't mean that's your sexual orientation. And I think that, you know, a lot of the men that we deal with, you know, as straight wives are men who feel kind of what I call they're limbo men. They're caught in between two worlds. They're emotionally straight, but they're sexually gay. They can't come to terms with the gay, you know, world. And, you know, they just, because of family upbringing, religious upbringing, I think religion is really, you know, what pushes people over the edge, you know, being told that they're being indoctrinated from the time they're young. And did you grow up as a Catholic?
Absolutely. I grew up as a Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy. I was going to be on track to be a priest, actually. So I was well into the Italian Roman Catholic tradition, sure. And it was, in fact, when I was old enough to really comprehend that I might be gay and that what the church said about gay people, it was then that I actually broke from the church, probably between the ages of 15, 17, somewhere around there. So, yeah, and recently, you know, I've sort of made reconciliation with my spirituality to the point where now, you know, I have different feelings about it. But, I mean, there were, many years where I just was very, you know, against all religion. And because, you know, for many gay people, it's very scarring. And, you know, it still is with reparative therapy and all the things, you know, and even in this country where religion is legislated as a weapon to, you know, deny gay people equal rights. So it's really a problem. And I would say these days I'm much more spiritual, you know, than I am. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. So but it takes me a long time to even come to that, you know. So, yeah. I think, and as far as your earlier point, yes, there is a difference between same-sex behavior and a sexual orientation being. And, you know, there's a lot of same-sex behavior that happens, as you've mentioned a few examples, like prison, for example. But, you know, again, there's estimates of, you know, 5-10% of the population identifies as gay. But there's a heck of a lot more men who have sex with men who do not identify as gay. Now, some of them may get married, and as you pointed out, that's a lot of it may be because of the shame and the internalized homonegativity, which my book addresses, and they try to live that straight life, and, you know, it ends up not just hurting them, but it hurts, you know, women who, you know, marry them. It hurts children, if they have children, families, and communities. So, yeah.
So, here, if you can answer this question, because I know that this is something that comes up quite a bit with our women, that I think that we can all accept the fact, you know, well, the women I work with accept the fact that their husbands, you know, were gay, and almost all their husbands did love them when they married them and hope for the best, or hope that by loving a woman enough, you know, those feelings would not come back, you know, whatever feelings they had. You know, because they didn't want to be gay. And I think a lot of these men are confused because they are able to perform heterosexual sex with their wives in the beginning, even though as time goes on, that becomes extremely more difficult, or if not impossible. But, you know, even so, women feel that for the most part, these men loved them when they got married, and stuff happens. You know, we understand that, you know, you come to terms with the fact that this is not what you are a gay man. But we just see there's so much cruelty after that point with some of these husbands. Like, they turn on their wives as if they're blaming their wives for their unhappiness. Have you dealt with that at all, with the men you work with?
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, I have worked with married men, and I will have to say the majority of the experience I have from what the gay men will report to me, that they, when they got married, they truly were not, they were in denial, or they weren't aware mirror. They weren't acknowledging their own sexuality. So I don't think the majority go into marriage with the idea of wanting to inflict pain or hurt, and not only
Absolutely.
To themselves, but their wives. So just having,
Correct.
You know, that's the majority. But having said that, there are a few who are gay, who I've treated, who do come in and say, no, I knew I was gay, but, you know, not only do they hate themselves as gay men, but they hate the gay community. And because of that, they want to live a straight life. They want a family. They want the benefits that come with all that stuff. And they
mm-hmm.
know they're gay. Now, a lot of those guys tell the wives up front, hey, this is my situation. Do you want to still get married or not? But a few don't. So I would say, you know, 9 out of 10, you know, go into this with in either denial or they're open with their spouse about it, where only maybe, you know, 1 out of 10 would be, you know, the kind of self-hating, you know, gay man that hates
Right, I would
all.
Say that the one is probably correct, but I would say 8 out of 10 men wouldn't, and I would say 8 out of 10 would never say anything because they themselves are not sure. You know, I don't think
yeah.
they identify as gay yet, and I
no.
think that, you know, they try to feel that they're straight or straight with issues, as Ted Haggard says.
Yeah. And that's
or
what
that,
straight act says. You know,
well, exactly.
That's
what
straight
and, you know,
act,
I grew up
literally
before.
Acting straight.
Exactly, and I grew up before you, back in the days of the 60s and promiscuity and, you know, Kinsey and all these people who were making these reports stating that it was normal for, like, 87% of all men to have some kind of male sexual experience. And so even if we would have known that there was past experience, we wouldn't necessarily understand ourselves as women that this was gay when the men didn't understand this was gay. So I think there's been so much misinformation that it's taken longer for people to try to accept the fact that you can't change what is. It is what it is.
Well, as far as, you know, the Kinsey stuff, yeah, I mean, this was in the conservative 50s, I believe, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Second,
right.
this was self-reporting. So you have to, you know, like these guys acknowledged this to a researcher. So that was incredible. And they still found, I believe it was like, it was a very high number. It was in like 40-something percent, or it could have been more. But that, you're right, they acknowledged having a same-sex experience to the point of orgasm with another man
mm-hmm.
at least once. Their life. Now, how do you interpret that? Now, my interpretation, and I know you disagree because we've discussed this,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. We could, you know, we could disagree.
Yeah, you don't have to agree on everything.
Right. But I think people do have, you know, sexuality can be fluid. I mean, I don't think, like you said, if a guy in prison has sex with a man, you know, it doesn't mean he's gay. So I do think, you know, men can have sex with men. They can have an experience, whether it's in college or in childhood or whatever, or even in adulthood, but that doesn't define their sexual orientation. So I do think, like women, you know, sexuality is fluid in the human being, and that we are, you know, pretty much, you know, born a certain way, but we also, there is some fluidity. I mean, I just don't think there's two polar opposites, that you're either straight or gay, and it's always and forever. I think, you know, 10% of guys, let's say, are gay, and that's it. And, you know, let's say 10% of men are, you know, strictly straight, and I think the vast majority fall somewhere in between. Now, let me clarify that. That doesn't mean everyone's bisexual. It doesn't mean, you know, everybody's, you know, having sex with the same sex. It just means, you know, let's say a guy could be 85% straight and 15% gay. I mean, you know, there has to be some room for people to have thoughts and fantasies and occasionally act out on them, you know, and I think that happens a lot, even in heterosexual couples. I mean, all the cheating that goes on, you know what I mean? But, so I just think sexuality is a lot more fluid, and it's not stuck in such rigid sex roles as we like to think, and that this happens a lot more in our society than we like to acknowledge. And occasionally, straight wives married to gay husbands get wrapped up in this, and that's not good. But I think it happens, you know, probably a lot more. I mean, take a guy who might, let's just say, jerk off with a guy at the gym in the steam room who's married, and that might happen, who knows, like once, let's just say. But that doesn't mean that he's gay. It doesn't mean he leaves his wife. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that one time he had this kind of strange experience, and that was it, and who knows why. And there's some straight men that would say, well, then that means he's gay because a straight man who's really straight would never, ever do that. And that's true. There are some straight men that would never, ever do that. But I think a lot of that...
Well, I think you can't base things on, like, a one-time experience. And I always say that. You know,
yeah.
Things happen. And
right.
Look, people can get stoned high, whatever, be at a party. And when you're younger, touching just feels good. And I'm not saying it doesn't. And, you know, I've gotten to the point now where I say, to me, it really doesn't matter what percent you are. You know, the point. You know how Kinsey has a scale of 7 levels from 0 to 6? I have the Bonnie K scale. It's 2 numbers, 1 and 2. 1, you're straight, and 2, if you want a penis in any shape, form, you think about it, fantasize, look at pictures of it, touch it, do it, you're number 2. So it's a matter of what a woman's able to live with, you know, because I think men and women really do operate differently in what their thoughts are.
Uh-huh.
And I just... It wouldn't matter to me if my, you know, like I say, my ex-husband was 15% gay and 85% straight. That 15% would mean that I don't want to have to be in that situation.
Sure.
You know, I just wouldn't feel comfortable living with it. And once again, it's not have something to do with being gay because, you know, I could love gay people. I had a lesbian daughter, you know, who passed away. And, you know, I embraced her homosexuality in every possible way and gave her every support. As I would, you know, all of my gay friends that I've known throughout my life. But I just don't want to live with it in my marriage. I don't want to have, you know, I just wouldn't be comfortable with that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to hear about your daughter.
Thank you. But, you know, at least I always felt that, you know, sexuality was never going to be her issue, even though it was her father's issue. You know, I never wanted her to grow up in an environment of non-acceptance. So I, you know, embraced her and her friends and her girlfriends. They became like my second daughters. You know, I always wanted her to feel that, you know, she was accepted and loved, and it had nothing to do with a choice.
Yes, and having the marriage of your choice is very important, and that's your right. And now, you know, there's, for example, swingers. You know, there's heterosexual couples that play with other heterosexual couples. That's their choice. That's their marriage. You know, there's
and that's
there's
the point, that they had a choice and they have the choice going into it.
Right.
But, you know, when you marry someone who's gay, if you would know ahead of time, then you have a choice.
Right.
But,
so
but in most
what do you
of the
do,
cases, our women don't know.
No, that's true, and you're right. And you have that choice once you find out whether to stay in it or not. You know, just as we all have choices. I mean, as far as, you know, even now I think it's more popular among straight couples to even have open indiscrepancies when they travel or whatever, which is, you know, was used to be just a gay thing. But now, you know, now it's like, you know, it's interesting. But choices, you're right. Choices, disclosure, this is what's important. Honesty, trust, these are the foundations of what makes love safe. And when you were not told and you go into a marriage and you get blindsided years later, yeah, I mean, it turns your whole life upside down. And just I can imagine the effects on the trust and everything. So,
well, you know what I think it is? You know, I think these marriages differ than straight marriages. You know, this is not so much about the infidelity as it is the sexuality. And I'll explain to you the difference. You know, in a marriage with straight people, sometimes stuff just happens. You know, I certainly never judge anybody's situation in any situation. You know, things happen, and you can have, you know, bad times in a marriage. You can have people who stray for whatever reasons, and that is infidelity. I'm certainly not defending it or, you know, I'm not knocking it, defending it. I'm just bringing it as a fact. But when you're married to a gay man, it's just not about the sexuality. It's about living his lie with him when he's constantly pulling you apart and making you feel as if there's something wrong with you. And I really believe that sex is a really important part of any relationship. And I think that this is something that we are all given as a gift in life, is our sexuality. And when women are made to feel as if they're sexually inadequate or they're nymphomaniacs because they want to have a normal sex life, or we've had men go to all kinds of extremes not to make love to their wives and not be honest and try to blame their wives for it. You're too fat, you're too thin, you're not supportive enough, you don't clean the house good enough. You know, everything except the truth. And a woman who has no idea what's really going on starts taking in that self-blame. It really starts stripping her of any kind of self-esteem she has and sexual esteem. So I think it's more more than the infidelity, it's a betrayal of who you are and why we're having problems in the marriage. And I don't know if you would agree with this, Angela, but I'll be honest with you, in my really strong thoughts, that they say it takes two to tango in a marriage. But I think when you have a gay husband, it only takes one. Because that homosexuality is going to, you know, see through that marriage and affect every portion of it, you know, when it comes to being a man in a place where you don't belong. And my heart goes out to a lot of these men who really struggle. You know, I'm the first to always defend, you know, men who are struggling with their sexuality and to work with them. But on the other hand, you know, it has to be an equal balance. I feel that you don't have a choice in being gay, but you do have a choice in being honest with your wife. And before you're out there running around and cheating on her, you know, at least be honest and let her know, because we have so many women who are part of our network who have sexually transmitted diseases, who have syphilis, who have HIV, AIDS. We just had a show a couple weeks ago from the Orange County AIDS group, and a woman was on there, had no idea her husband was gay, and then she was, you know, struck down with HIV, AIDS. So I think that, you know, to me, this is unconscionable kind of behavior. You feel the same way?
Well, your point is your whole point, you know, there is taken, especially about honesty. You know, I think the foundation of any loving relationship is honesty and trust. And
mm-hmm.
what can you have without that? So, and yeah, I certainly think if the guy is certainly projecting all of his, you know, he's not able to be truthful with himself or in his wife and his family, so he has to make it her fault. I mean, that's just terrible, you know, when we project and you know, put people down, or, you know, oh, it's not me, it's you. I mean, that's just awful. Awful.
Mm-hmm.
And just the, I don't want to say collateral damage, because it seems like worse than that. You know, it seems like there's some intention there, like psychological violence or abuse. Maybe emotional abuse or something, maybe even verbal abuse. But
absolutely.
The power, and I'm not defending, you know, any of the stuff, but what I'm saying is that, you know, if a gay man does enter a marriage in denial and then, like you say, comes to realize he's gay, the least he could do is be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, be honest with everybody. And I think it's this dishonesty which you're having, and that can create, you know, these awful things, like you're saying, you know, disease and just awfulness. You know, a scarred heart, a scarred soul, a scarred body, just terrible stuff. And what is that about? And so I just want to pause for a moment, because, yeah, there are some wicked people in the world. You know, there are. I mean, evil people do exist. And I think that homophobia is evil, and it drives kids to shoot each other. It drives kids to kill themselves. It drives parents to disown their children, not you. It drives religion to, you know, disown their members of the congregation. It is a powerful, insidious hatred. It's an evil. It has infiltrated our culture, our legislation, and it creates such shame, such violence, such bigotry, such hypocrisy. And unfortunately, it can drive men to do murder, suicide, and lie to their wives, and lie to themselves. And it's homophobia that I think which were straight wives who've been victimized by this, and gay men themselves, where we can unite and we can fight the common enemy, which is, I think, homophobia and heterosexism.
Yeah, we agree with that 100%. We're all pro-gay marriage, my whole group, for the most part, like 98%. You know, we really believe that gay people should be able to marry gay people. We believe in 100% equal rights. You know, we don't believe people have a choice in homosexuality. We just believe you have a choice in what you do with your homosexuality.
Yes, but what prevents many men from doing the right thing, the admirable thing, the honest thing, is this sickness, this stigma, this sickness in our culture, this homophobia.
No, absolutely. Homophobia drives people to try to stay hidden. And I certainly do understand that. And, you know, we're very strongly against any kind of homophobic behavior. And once again, I just want to emphasize that most of our women are, you know, really so pro-gay. You know, that's, I think, why men kind of are gravitating towards us, because they know what our attitudes are. But we do recognize the fact that, you know, we don't live in a country where it's, you know, accepted in many places. But that being said, I would just like to ask your opinion of something as a therapist. Do you think that for men who just can't, you know, come to terms with themselves and they keep living a lie, you know, day in and day out, that creates living a lie and that creates sociopathic behavior?
Does it create what behavior? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Sociopathic behavior.
Can you define what you mean by sociopathic?
Well, if people start believing their own lies, and that becomes very easy for them to lie through a lot of things and place the blame where it doesn't belong. And, you know, we see, like, some common threads of a lot of narcissism in a lot of the husbands that we've had. But I see a lot of sociopathic husbands who, you know, continually lie, create situations that don't exist, feel like victims themselves. And I think a lot of it, you know, when you live a lie every single day, that after a while lying becomes inherent in your personality, that it doesn't even take anything to lie anymore. That it just becomes commonplace. I think, you know, when you have to keep lying about who you are, you know, and looking over every corner and wondering when you're going to get caught, you know, I think it's really hard on, you know, just becomes after a while who you become.
Yeah, well, I talk about this, you know, using your definition of sociopathic, but I talk about this in my book Straight Acting, because it's like, what I say is people live a false self. You know, they're not their true self, they're a false self. And when you live a false self, you're right. You're not only fooling everybody else, but it gets to the point where you fool yourself. You don't even remember who you really are, and you start living a lie, and you don't really care you know, about who you're hurting or you know, or anything, because you're just so focused on protecting this lie, and it is definitely narcissistic, because it's all about them. And so, you know, it comes, though, as you know, from all, you know, narcissistic injury and all this, you know, pathological behavior. Ultimately, though, it comes from trauma, and you know, people who are trying to, who were extraordinarily vulnerable at one point, and who are trying to protect themselves. Now, it goes bad, absolutely. But you know, if you watch Criminal Minds or you know, those serial killer movies, I mean, you know, there was always this atrocious childhood, and you know, so clearly it goes wrong. And I'm not defending, you know, the outcome, but what I'm saying is, you know, most of us have, you know, some type of trauma, and it's how we deal with it. And, you know, gay men are traumatized because of homophobia, like you said, all their life. And some of them turn out, you know, to be, as you said, quote-unquote, sociopathic, narcissistic, injurious, liars, living in fantasy, because it's gone wrong, and they develop a psychopathology because of the social trauma which I also discussed in the book, that being gay is traumatic and like post-traumatic stress disorder, and it can cause, you know, psychopathology if one does not accept themselves. And we see that, too, most clearly in the school shooting. And when you watch Michael Moore, I think he's brilliant, in that movie he did about the school shooting, Columbine. You know, they did that because they were being called fags, because they were perceived as weak, as nerds, and, you know, they took the guns and blasted everyone to show their power. They were driven to that because of masculinity and social norms, and that's what drives many gay men to get married, you know, gay men that are open and accepting of themselves, because they can't deviate, they can't take the pressure of being outside the box.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you on that. And now I'd like to ask you a question that has nothing to do with the gay married men, but maybe you could shed this insight for us about gay men in general. You know, I'm always curious, you know, because I work with a lot of men, and they have sometimes very strong, you know, homophobic self kinds of hatred, you know, because they look around the stereotypical gay, you know, things that are portrayed in the media and the press, and they feel no connection with that, or they feel that's what people are making fun of, so they don't want to be part of that. And I'm sure you deal with that all the time, too. But I'm just curious, you know, where does flamboyancy come into gay?
Okay. That also is a huge, you know, part of the book, which is, you know, femininity is equated with gay, and they're not the same.
Right.
But it's as if they were the same. So, you know, sexual orientation is not the same as one's gender expression. So, for example, there's some very, very straight men who are effeminate, but they are not gay. And there's some very, very, very butch men. I mean, that rugby player, I can't remember his name right now, but he's a big rugby player. Who does he play for? I don't know. But, you know, he's gay, and he's as macho as they come. So this idea, though, that gay men are effeminate and they want to be women and they wear women's clothes, it's this confusion between gender and sexuality, and those things are different, but most people don't understand that, but they are different. Now, not to go off on a tangent, but a drag queen is a gay man that dresses in women's clothes, but it's not because he wants to be a woman. It's because he's doing it for fun or for work or to make money or for sex, whatever, but he's not wanting to change his gender. Now, a transgender person who dresses like a woman, a man who's transgender and dresses like a woman, they want to change genders. Now, that's gender identity. That's something entirely different. And then the third category that dresses would be straight men that dress in women's clothing as sexual fetishes. They are straight men who are cross-dressers, and they don't want to change gender either. So, you know, men may act effeminate for a number of reasons, but it doesn't equal gay in none of those cases. You know, gay
right,
is
but when
about,
you go out and you see, like, a gay parade,
yeah,
you know, this is the image that you see.
It is, unfortunately.
And I don't understand what the connection is.
There is no connection. It's just, it's what the media likes to focus on and play on the news because it's outrageous and it's a stereotype. And if anything, what the Gay Pride Parade is doing is it's saying, we don't live in a gender expression box. So gender identity, in other words, I identify as a man, even though I'm gay. And if that's my gender identity, I sleep with men, but I still identify as male because my gender identity is male. Now, I don't, but if I did wear dresses, that's my gender expression. I'm expressing my maleness, my masculinity in a feminine way, or let's just say, not go to that extreme, let's say I wear pink shirts and, you know, I'm flamboyant. Then, like Jack on Will and Grace, he was, you know, the more effeminate kind, because he's expressing his maleness in the feminine way, but he doesn't want to be a woman. He's still a man and wants to be a man because he's male, but he's just expressing himself effeminately. So, but straight men can do that too. It doesn't mean they're gay. It just means that they're soft. So, but the gay pride parade, what gay people are, I think, saying is that we can express ourselves as men, both masculine and feminine, you know, we don't obey any social traditional sex roles. Mm-hmm. We're not boxed in by traditional notions of what a man is supposed to be. So if I want to march down Fifth Avenue and poke fun and wear a dress and have fun and show my effeminate side, then as a man, then I can do that. Or if I want to be a bike on a dike and flash my tits and ride a Harley and feel the vibration of the motor, you know, on and on, then I want to do that. Because we're saying, fuck you. We don't live mm-hmm. in boxes. And so it's about that more than anything. It's not about wanting to be the other sex. That's a transgender.
Yeah, I just think the problem that problem with it, not that I have with it, because it doesn't matter to me, is that there are so many men who just feel so taken back by that imagery that they don't want to be identified as part of that.
Well,
and
yeah,
drive them deeper into the closet.
Yeah, and that's what straight acting is all about. You know,
mm-hmm.
it says, you know, you hit it in a nutshell. So, but that stereotype is a stereotype. You know, it's like other stereotypes, and it's just not based on fact. And it's what, you know, the media will go to the most extreme things, unfortunately, and it keeps getting reinforced. But the majority of gay people, believe me, do not act that way. And today there is this, in fact, very unpopular even in the gay community itself if you act that way. Not really embraced by the community itself. So why it continues to be a stereotype, it's just because I think straight people, I don't know, they must be fascinated by it or, I don't know, entertained by it or whatever, but there's just this notion that being gay equals being effeminate. And
mm-hmm.
it's because men are strong, they're not weak, and they don't demonstrate emotion. You know, that's a real man. And if you're gay, you're somehow thought of as not a real man. You're thought of as weak, you're thought of as soft, and automatically effeminate. And
mm-hmm.
the links get made that you're not a real man. You're a wuss, you're a pussy, you're a fag, you're a wimp, you're a woman. How could you be gay? This is the hatred. The hatred comes, in my opinion, not because we sleep with the same sex, but because we deviate from the traditional standards of the male sex role. And that is what causes us to be reviled. And therefore, we're considered less than women. We're considered
mm-hmm.
men who have stepped down from their patriarchal, you know, privilege and have opted to be like women. And therefore, we're castigated. And that's the word. And
I really like on your website where you say, what is getting in your way of loving yourself and finding love? The biggest problem most gays face is internalized homonegativity. I love that word, homonegativity. This means we automatically ingest the negative stereotypes, beliefs, and feelings of society about gays and therefore feel inadequate ourselves deep inside. And even if we're out, many of us tone down our true selves for fear of being too gay, flamboyant, or effeminate, modifying our own behavior to be more acceptable. And this unconscious shame causes us problems like low self-esteem, self-destructive behavior like alcohol and drug abuse, unsafe sex, eating disorders, connection-like attitude, and the list goes on. And I think that's so important. I think that if people could learn to overcome this at an earlier age and just be who they are, they wouldn't have to fight so hard to be who they're not. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and that's what gave me passion to write straight acting. You know, I really, that book took 5 years, and it took all of me. And as you know, you're an author yourself of many fine books, and it just it, that, but that book really, you know, consumed 5 years of my life. And the reason I wrote it, and it took a lot, was because, you know, and actually only half of it made it. I mean, half of it was edited out. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is normal through the editing process, mind you. It was just too large, and they wanted to make it more condensed. But this is my passion, so I agree 100%, and that's why I wrote the book. You know, the book is really filled with words of wisdom for moms, wives, sisters, girlfriends, daughters, you know, anyone in a relationship with a man, you know, as well as men and gay men, fathers, brothers, sons, husbands, boyfriends. Really, it's about this issue. And, you know, yes, I think men everywhere should read the book. People, women everywhere, all people should read the book. But unfortunately, you know, it's a niche book, and it has a limited audience. And it's really, I'm trying really, that's why, to spread the word about it, because I just think it has a valuable message, as you pointed out, that we all need to hear, that could make the world a better place.
Now, do you think this would help women with their gay husbands, you know, if they gave it to them, to maybe try to come to better terms with themselves?
Are you kidding? Absolutely. You know, I always say I was, you know, Lady Gaga's message, just be yourself. You know, I mean, that's really, you know, but... And that message is old, and it's not, you know, not hers. I mean, she certainly didn't invent it. But, you know, really, it is a book to help the gay man be honest, not just with themselves, but with the people they're connected to, because the subtitle of it is Finding True Love. So it's great acting, gay men, masculinity, and finding true love is the whole title. But the finding true love part, you know, it is a book about love. It's that honesty with the self, the integrity of being your true self and connecting with your true self. And once you're truly connected with your true self, then, you know, you can connect with other people in an honest and open way. So when a man, a gay man, connects with who he really is. In this way, he connects not only with his own humanity, but with the humanity in others. And, you know, that's the honesty that you were talking about.
Well, I'm looking now on Amazon, and I'm ordering your book, actually, as I'm sitting here. And
oh,
if anybody else wants to, if anybody else wants to order it, there's only two left in stock, and I'm ordering one. So you better order it fast. But
oh, yippee.
I think it's
so
important
excited.
That people have this as their resource, and that, you know, this might be the connection between your husband recognizing that he's gay, coming to terms with it, and at least, do you think it would give women a better understanding of how all this happens, Angela?
Oh, my God, totally, yes, because I trace it right from the start, and it really, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it'd be invaluable.
Yeah, so let's talk about it again. You can go right to Amazon. Is that the best way to order it?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. I mean, it is available at Barnes & Noble, but I think Amazon is probably your best bet.
Okay, so it's called Straight Acting, right?
Yeah.
And once again, we'll spell Angela's. Although, it's, when you put in Straight Acting, it's the first one that did come up. There's another one listed there. But yours is the first one. Is it also available on Kindle?
It is. It is on Kindle. Yep.
Okay. So
it was at Borders, but I understand they went out of business. So I think it's Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Kindle, book clubs. This should be everywhere books are sold. But
well, it definitely should be. And like I say, I'm just ordering it now. I'm placing my order. I'm talking to you. I just feel that this is such an important book, and I can't thank you enough for being our guest, because, Misty, what do you think?
Yeah, I was just going to say, whatever happened to Misty?
I'm still here. I'm listening.
Misty's in awe.
I'm in awe. I let Bonnie do all the talking. Anyway, yes, thank you so much for coming on. It sounds like you deliver a really great message, and that's what I try to tell, you know, the women I work with and some of the men as well, you know. It life's too short not to be who you're meant to be, and just be who you're supposed to be your authentic self, and it really sounds like the message that you deliver in the book. It sounds like it's a really nice book, so I appreciate writers out there like yourself.
Yeah, I'd like to use it as a resource, Angela, if that's okay. You know, I'd like to put it on my website in my space for gay men.
Yeah,
you know, they can have that. And also, let's talk a little bit about your counseling. Because now that you're down in Florida, that doesn't mean you can't counsel by phone, right?
Well, yeah, and the book, you know, it traces this idea of homonegativity from, you know, how does that happen to the gay man, you know, from the time they're born, you know, so what is the psychological wound that, you know, the gay man has, and then it kind of follows it through the lifespan. Yeah, in that way it would give, I think, straight wives a very good window into that whole idea of how does this even happen? You know, why do gay men go into denial, or why are they dishonest? Why do they get married? Why don't they know? You know, why are they hiding?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
how are you adjusting to Florida?
I love it. I love it. Boston was, love Boston, great city, a little too cold, a little too icy, not just in weather, but the people can, you know, are great people, but they could be a little icy, you know, puritanical sort of, you know, stereotyping, but there's some great people in Boston. But overall, you know, it still has that New England old Yankee sort of, you know, Puritan kind of heritage there. And so then I tried L.A., and L.A. was just not for me. New York was very good, very exciting. It was, you know, great. But now Miami, I just think it's great with the weather, and love the Spanish culture and the liveliness and the great weather and the beautiful scenery here. And people are very laid back. And it's just really me. I think I finally found the right blend, you know.
You found your niche, right?
I think I did, and I do work by Skype, so, you know, if people are looking for counseling via Skype or via phone, so absolutely, and also in person for people who are local. And these days I'm trying to get also, you know, more into speaking, seminars, workshops, retreats, journeys. So I have a whole new website coming out soon in September.
Well, you know, I think it's a great connection with you and Misty, because she does coaching. And,
awesome.
You know, she has seminars, you know, with women from all over the world, actually, you know, by phone. So the two of you could work together. You could work with the husband. She can work with the wives, and, you know,
that
a good team.
Great.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to give Misty your contact information.
No,
so
I
that
think
she could be in touch
really
with you, too. Right, Misty?
Yes. I'd love to have a local resource. That would be great.
Yeah, that's
right.
Exciting. You too.
But I would like to just mention also, Angela, because I just love talking to you. Sorry, I want to go sooner. That even though you do specialize with gay men, you work with all people. So you don't have to be a gay man to go to Angela. You can be a straight woman. You could be a couple. You could be a straight man. I mean, just, you know, he's a regular therapist also, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, most people laugh when I tell them, but in California, I'm actually a licensed marriage and family therapist, so I have a lot of training.
It's okay, I am too. I'm divorced, and I'm a marriage and family therapist. It's okay.
Yeah. So I have a very broad training, and I just happen to get into, you know, sexuality and gender because it's a focus of mine, but I'm very broadly trained and competent to, treat anyone and happily do so. Especially children, you know, just to put a little plug out there for kids or teenagers, because, you know, of the suicides and everything, and, you know, if they're transgender or gay or just different in any way, you know, it's so hard for kids, and sometimes it's hard for the parents. It's hard for the parents, you know, what do I do with my son who wants to play with dolls and wear dresses?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with daughter who wants to play football? What do I do with my weird kid who's up there, you know, just doing weird things? I mean, so, and sometimes as parents, we try our best, but sometimes we don't do the right thing, and that's going to affect the shame, you know, in the child.
It does. And you know what, Angelo, I always tell our women, I say, you know, if you have issues with your husband, you can come to our chat room and vent, you can, you know, I have a whole support system where you can vent, but you can't be doing this in front of your kids, and you can't confuse the issues because, you know, you could be very angry right now, and that's valid, But if you start talking against gay and your child is gay, they're going to grow up with those same negative messages that your husband grew up with.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all say, well, if it was my child, I could love my child and accept it. I said, well, then stop talking negatively about it. Because
yeah.
From my research, I've found that there is a higher percentage of children when you have one gay parent than when you don't. I mean, I've studied this for many, many, many years, and I would say it's almost twice as high, the number of us who have a gay child. And if going with my theory of genetics, I mean, it would only stand to reason. But if you bring your child up in an environment of homophobia, then there's no way that your child's going to have any kind of a different life than your husband had. And
right. And
research, make those same mistakes.
That's right. And research shows, you know, that it's the self-hating gays, those homonegative ones, the ones that ingested all that, you know, stigma, they're
mm-hmm.
the ones that are self-hating, and they're the ones that go on to commit the atrocities, you know, the crimes, the gay hate crimes, you know, getting married and being deceitful, as you say, and, you know, so it's really the self-loathing homosexuals that...
Can I just ask you one more question before you go?
Yeah.
I don't mean to keep dragging you on here, but what is your opinion? Like, how people, Misty talks a lot about this, about compartmentalizing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Misty?
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, gay men are able, you know, when they get married, are able to compartmentalize.
Sure, well, absolutely. Yeah, they do. They absolutely do, yeah. Sure, I mean, the gym thing was a good example of that, you know, so like a straight guy or a married who might have experience at the gym and then compartmentalizes that and goes back home, it's just, part of trauma is compartmentalization. I mean, I hate to even bring this up, but that horrible Florida trial with Casey Anthony, part of
mm-hmm.
their defense was that she was abused, and therefore she was able to compartmentalize, and this
mm-hmm.
and that. You know, that's why she behaved inappropriately, et cetera, et cetera, and she showed no emotion, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm not defending her at all. Believe me, that's not my point. I'm not even saying I agree with that premise in regards to her, but I just mention it because that's probably the most current issue that everyone's familiar with compartmentalization.
Mm-hmm.
But when people are traumatized, they are able to shut off certain things in their life, and you know, that does come from trauma.
Mm-hmm.
If the guy is experiencing self-loathing and is traumatized by being rejected, you know, by family, friends, religion, society, coworkers, neighbors, etc., even if the voice is a self-persecuting voice, then he's most certainly going to compartmentalize his gayness, you know, in terms of his fantasies are going to be compartmentalized, his masturbation around it, his sexual activity about it, his thoughts.
I will tell you something interesting we did last week on the show. Last week, one of our support group members, Maggie, was on with us. And, you know, Maggie was in a long-term relationship, like 30-some years being married, you know, to her ex-husband. And she's done a lot of research, you know, since the marriage is broken up. You know, and I said to her, you know, it's really interesting that, you know, you see there's so much of this out there that you don't even recognize. So we put an ad on Craigslist where she lives. And within the hour, like 9 men answered it. And by morning, there were, like, you know, 35 responses, and at least 12 of them identified as being married. You know, and here they are, you know, being married, answering these ads for, you know, gay sex. So I think you have to be able to really separate in your head what you're doing, like you said, the compartmentalization, where you're able to live this double kind of life and not have it, you know, catch up with you. I would think it'd be really difficult, you know, always walking around.
Well, it is difficult, not just on straight wives, but, you know, it's difficult on...
No, I'm talking about to keep doing this.
Well, it creates tremendous stress, you know, yeah, tremendous amount of energy. It's very draining. It's a lot of anxiety, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it does catch up with them at some point. people can't do that forever. And usually when it blows up, it can be ugly.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, Angelo, if people want to get in touch with you, can they write to you at AskAngelo?
What's the best way
to reach you?
Yeah, well, my website today is askangelo.com, AskAngelo.com. And when the new website's ready, I believe that Ask Angelo will forward to the new site. So
mm-hmm.
I think that will be fine. But my phone number is 917-673-5003. That's 917-673-5003. And
if you didn't have a chance to write that down, you can always write me at bonk@AOL, and I'll forward you Angelo's phone number.
Yeah, and the email is just ask@askangelo.com.
Okay, so it's ask@angelo.com. Is that correct?
It's ask@askangelo.com. To ask. I know, ask@askangelo.com.
Gotcha.
If
you didn't get that, write to me, and I'll also send you the email address.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. The website's Ask Angelo, and I used to have a column, and it was called Ask Angelo. So when people would write in questions, they would send it to ask@askangelo.com. That's how that came about, yeah. It was like a gay Dear Abs thing. It ran for 6 years. So
if you're in Miami and you're looking for help, this is a man to go to. We're going to be sending people your way, Angelo.
Awesome. Or anywhere.
You were
Skype
just wonderful. I can't thank you enough for being our guest tonight. All I can ask is maybe in a few months you'll be willing to come back.
Oh, I'd love to be invited back. And I enjoyed myself. I hope it was helpful.
It definitely was. Don't you think so, Misty?
Absolutely. It was very helpful.
Yeah, and I'm going to send you both your contact information, so Misty will be in touch with you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Angelo, thank you so much for being our guest tonight.
You're welcome. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll give you feedback on the book after I get it. I have 2-day delivery, so I'll have it by Tuesday.
Can't wait for your review on Amazon. That'd be great.
You'll be getting a great one, trust me. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye, Miss.
Bye-bye.
Well, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it was. Very, very. I think he has a very great message to deliver.
Oh, I do, too.
The title caught me just by the subtitle. I mean, basically, it's what I keep saying. You really have to live your authentic life. You really do. Be true to yourself. Whatever that truth is, you really have to be true to yourself. And that's for straight wives and gay men. You really need to be true to yourself. Life's too short to not be true to yourself.
Isn't that true too, Misty? It's really incredible because I'm just finishing up the book with the Straight Wives, Shattered Lives Part 2. It's going to the publisher tomorrow. And there's 22 stories in it this time.
Wow.
Yeah. Some of them are just so heart-wrenching to see the pain that our women have gone through.
Uh-huh.
It just really put my mind in a different place for a while. It's just very angry on their behalf because, when you see what they've suffered,
uh-huh.
Through men who really, had no regard for what they were going through, and some of them struggled for so long, it was just so heart-wrenching. And you think life should never have to be this complicated for anyone. And, you and I always acknowledge that these men have a lot of problems and we can appreciate it, but, the important thing is to accept who you are and be honest so you don't sit and torture your wife and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us up to the next subject of your upcoming seminar, because I've had women writing to me telling me how excited they are that they got in on this.
Wonderful, yes. There are some spaces left, so hurry up if you want in. It's August 20th. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe August is already here. That's scary. But anyway, it's August 20th.
Well, August is already here. It's already a week through. You're in your second week already.
I know. It's scary, scary.
I know.
It's August 20th. It's going to be about grief. And I think that's one of the most important messages all straight wives can hear is about the journey of grief, to be educated on it. And that's what the whole seminar is going to be about. It's free. If you want more information, please email me,
And that's at mistylynnhall@aol.com, mistylynnhall@aol.com. And if you've emailed me, you should have gotten a response back, confirmation. If you haven't, make sure you email me again, because sometimes the spelling gets wrong on that. And I will reserve your spot.
Yeah, that's so exciting. And how long is the seminar going to be, Misty?
It's going to be at least an hour. Usually they go into a little more than that. I'm going to talk for about an hour, and then I'll take a few questions, and we'll go from there. So it's going to be well worth their time. And, you know, it's well worth investment to heal yourself. You know, for
right.
the
and,
women,
and there is no
I think
investment
really need
here
to understand
except your time,
that.
Right? Because
I'm
you're
sorry.
Offering this as your gift, and this is, you know, a free
exactly.
seminar. So take
exactly.
advantage of it, because that, you know, doesn't happen often, and you can learn so much from Misty's healing and, you know, meeting other women who are going through the same thing that you're going through. I always
yep.
say there's power in connecting. So,
absolutely.
You know.
And that's why it's so important to connect with a professional that does this, you know, because it is very empowering. It is very, when you get empowered, you can heal faster. And it's not just
mm-hmm.
the rug. You know, a professional can help you realize what you need to heal. And it's just, they're just more of a guide. You know, you do the healing, but they're more of a guide. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I really, because I hate to see women struggle. And, you know, you and I both see that, Bonnie. They just struggle and struggle and struggle. You know, you're worth the investment of yourself. You know, do what you need to do to get your authentic life going, you know, because you deserve it.
Well, that's absolutely true. So, you know, Misty's workshop's coming up, and if you didn't get her email address, you can always write to me at bondk@AOL, and I'll always be able to help you with Misty's information. Also, in case you're looking to come to my big birthday bash, it's September 24th here in Philadelphia, where we have women from all over the country who are coming to spend our healing weekend together. Our annual healing weekend is here in Philadelphia this year. So if you are interested and you haven't sent me a note about it, please write to me and I'll send you about all the information so you can join me, that we're not only having a healing weekend, but we're having my big birthday party that weekend. So there will be lots of fun and activities going on. So other than that, Misty, any other news that you want to discuss?
That's all that I have.
Well, I'm sorry, you said that's all you have?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Well, guess what? That's it for me, too. I have nothing else new to tell any of you except that we love you. Thank you for being our listeners. And I hope that tonight's program really helped give some insight into you. I know that Angelo, I thought, was just remarkable. Don't you
Absolutely.
Think so?
It was. It was wonderful.
I mean, I may not agree with him on every single thing, but I do agree with him on, like, 92% of things.
Oh,
and even
that's
the some things I didn't agree about with him, you know, he was so nice about it, I even didn't mind it, you know.
There you go.
I know.
That's great. Yes.
So thank you, Angelo, for joining us if you're listening to this. All right, Misty, we'll see everybody next week. Say your final goodbye.
Good night and love to all.
That's right. We love all of you. Take care. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.